Welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Dingman, and I'm walking.
And I'm Jennifer Dingman, and I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. For this episode, we are so thrilled that we are welcoming to our podcast a conversation with Tyler Campbell. Tyler is going to join us on the phone to talk about his life with multiple sclerosis.
Tyler was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2007 while he was playing football at San Diego State University. He is the son of NFL Hall of Famer Earl Campbell, and Tyler embraces and exemplifies the words of his father, quote, "A Campbell never quits," end quote. Tyler is using his stories and his experiences to empower people across the globe, in addition to being an author, public speaker, MS ambassador, and advocate. Tyler hosts Real Life, Real Talk with TC Speaks, the number one radio show, Saturdays on 104.9 FM, The Horn, in Austin, Texas.
Tyler is also the author of The Ball Came Out. Be sure to stick around for the end of our conversation for Tyler reading an excerpt from his book in the new segment in our podcast titled MS in Their Voices. We are so excited to welcome here. Tyler, welcome.
Hey, my two favorite people. How are y'all doing? Love to see you guys. I can visually see, and I feel like I'm hugging you from all the way down in Texas, and I'm still trying to get to, is it Mackinac Island? I'm still trying to get there.
Guys. I was going to say, you get to Mackinac Island, we will be there in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
Dang.
I know that's right.
Yeah. Well, Tyler, we're excited to have you here, and I think that this is for our listeners. I mean, obviously, we know you and know your story, but I always, when I'm at work and I'm dealing with, working with a new partner, a new client, I'm always like asking them, you know, straight out of the gate, just really, what's your elevator speech? And saying, you know, why would I as a student want to come to your university? And so say you meet me as a prospective student in a hotel lobby, and we're going up to the 30th floor. So if somebody meets Tyler Campbell on the ground level, get into an elevator, you got 30 floors to go up. So what's your 30 floor elevator speech to tell the world who Tyler Campbell is?
Oh, that's lovely. I love the elevator speech. I feel like y'all are taking me back to business management class. Oh, this is awesome. Okay. So for me, honestly, I tell people, somebody who has a gift to speak and a purpose to serve. And what I mean by that is I'm an individual who finally figured out the calling over their life, right? And multiple sclerosis helped actually get me there. Being diagnosed in 2007 with the disease, the first person to ever play Division I college football with multiple sclerosis, it shined a light over my life and also showed me at the same time that football was nothing more than a talent for me. My real gift and love lay in words. And so for me, I've been utilizing words as a way to tap into people's hearts and delivering my gift as a means of meeting their need through a service of speaking or through a service of just trying to be the best person that I can be for myself, my family, and somebody else. Words set me free, and the words are what I stand on each and every day. I am passionate about words. They blessed me with the platform that I have to be a public speaker, a patient advocate, an Amazon best-selling author. But most importantly, at the end of the day, I am somebody who is a husband, and a proud father. And if you remember nothing else more about me, Those are the two things that matter more to me than anything in this world. To be a husband to my amazing wife, Shayna, and a father to our three children, Cheyenne, Messiah, and Sage, and our little rat terrier mixed with Chihuahua named Petey. That's what I'm all about, guys.
Love that.
That was excellent. 30 floor speech. That was good.
That was really good, Tyler. So then, wow. And it's almost like, I want to say it's not like we prepped you for that, but it's just like that was good.
Mm-hmm. So, oh man, we're having, so it's fun. It's easier to do. You guys, again, I say it, we're like family. And our goal is obviously to leave things better than the way we found them. And what greater way to do that than just sitting back, having a conversation about how we are able to free ourselves and speak openly about our hurts, our pains, but also our joys. And those are my joyous moments, my family, right? I think we all can relate to family.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know?
Well, and you talk about family, you talk about being a speaker, and you talk about the words. And, you know, something you had mentioned was, you know, with the writing, you talked about best-selling author. And that's something that, you know, the ball came out, and that was copyrighted 2022. So it's been out for, you know, a year or so. But then it's just a question. I mean, you're talking an Amazon best-selling book, and it's just like, why was it so important then for you to write this book?
Yeah, I lived through COVID just like you guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
For many years of my life, I wanted to write a book, guys. I my favorite books, Lord of the Rings, J.R. Tolkien, C.S. Lewis, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I mean, favorite books. I am a lover of fairy tales, okay? So I love books. I always wanted to write one. I had honestly hoped I would write one as soon as I got out of like college. I wanted to write a book. But every time I would sit down and write for over a decade, I could never write. Like I could get on stage and I could talk about things, but I couldn't write. When COVID happened, just like me, just like you guys, I lost family members, right? I lost uncles. I lost a brother-in-law. You know, I lost family, and I couldn't help but to look at my children, and things became very, very clear. It just, what am I going to leave for my children if something does happen to me or if something ever happened to me? And it's just not being negative, just being honest and thinking about your wife and your, a book in words. I knew that my babies could always go find anything they wanted to know about their dad. Feel like their dad would always be right there with them. For my wife to know that, you know, she was a very deep and essential part of her husband's overall well-being, even my MS journey, our friendship, she's a huge part of my life. And to know that she would always have that part of her life in words that could speak to her even more so than a photograph could. She would always know what her husband was thinking or what my children would always know what their dad's life was, his hurts, his pain. They could walk through those things, and that's what got me to finally sitting down through the course of 2021 and writing the book. And I'm not going to lie, guys, it took me 5 months to write my book. That was it. Mm-hmm. It took me 5 months. 5 months.
That's really impressive.
Yeah.
So what was that like then, Tyler, as you're sitting down and you're talking about something for your children, something for your wife, and that's very personal. You have now, I mean, you're talking best selling. I mean, are you surprised that it's had this kind of success? And if so, or however, what does that success mean for you?
Absolutely. I wrote for my family. I wrote to set myself free. I have gone through 2 years of therapy and learning how to love myself with MS, learning how to accept erectile dysfunction, learning how to communicate those things with my wife, and just getting in touch to what I would like to call emotional honesty. I've been working on that for 2 years through the pandemic to try to get there. And so my book was nothing more than just a gift to my family. That was what the goal was. It was literally, I'm setting myself free. I was setting Tyler free so I could turn over another page in my life of finally getting everything out of my system in the way that I could, in the way that I wanted to. And then it's for my family. And so to see the book numbers, that was not expected. To get a phone call from my publisher and say, hey, you're on the Amazon bestsellers list of, you know, top 100. I said, excuse me? You know, I thought it was a joke. That's not what I did. The reason I did Amazon and going through them to sell books, guys, I just figured everybody has Amazon, and my folks who live in the country in rural East Texas, even the UPS man delivers, but they're not near a Barnes & Noble or a, you know, they're not near a big bookstore. My family's from the country, but they do know how to order things off of Amazon. And so I was literally thinking about people in rural community of what I come from, my family, in Texas, and not wanting them to not have, so shocked and surprised, the success aspect, what it tells me and what I hope everybody will take away from it. Do not ever minimize yourself in all of your imperfections, in all of your anxieties, in all of your disabilities with our disease. You are a modern day superhero, because the willingness and the things that it takes for us to live our lives, and I'm not being arrogant, I'm not saying that, but we are to be able to look at Dan and Jen and you see love. Yeah, you're worthy to be loved. Your story, you have a love story. There are people who will literally be in awe if they knew the journey that you have been through. And to us, it seems like it's second nature, so we just keep it, right? We just,
right.
Oh, our muscles aren't working today, or our speech is off, or oh my, the spinal tap and the spinal headache that it left because I have a leak that I experienced. And then I had to go get a blood patch, and that's just another day in the life of us with MS. But that's not, the rest of the world cannot fathom that's what our walk looks like. And that's, so I would tell somebody, you know, please don't limit. Please don't limit or put yourself in a box, because your journey is so unique and it's so special. But guess what? Only you can tell it. You know, only you can tell it, and we need you to tell it, because your journey will give someone else hope, even those who aren't in the MS community. And we all need a little bit of hope nowadays.
Absolutely. And we need that hope. And it's, you know, when I read that you, you know, your book was doing so well, it of course, it is really resonates with the MS community, your voice. And everyone, I mean, not everyone, but most everyone likes football. And to hear a story, you know, it's easy to understand. It's interesting. You know, it's approachable, and your voice just resonates with your community. And I think that's such a testament to who you are, Tyler, just that your book is doing as well as it is. And so congratulations. And again, thank you for just sharing your time with us and talking with us. And I think that's, you really have a powerful voice for those of us living with the disease.
And thank you, Jen.
And so what was that like for you then? I mean, we're talking about like therapeutic and going back.
Yeah.
When you're reliving, I mean, you had a promising, you know, college career and everything. And then with all those, I mean, MS happened, you know, and it's just like,
yeah.
Looking back to where you were, was it challenging to write and relive those moments in writing it, or was it more therapeutic in, like you said, as far as releasing and turning over to a new chapter?
It was very, you know, because sometimes I forget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I you know, those hardest moments, guys, were also the 12-year-old Tyler moment, and a lot of us even before MS hit, you know, there are some things that took place in our childhood. And so reliving 12-year-old Tyler was, there were tears, mm-hmm. you know, because I really feel for him. 12-year-old Tyler still lives in me. And so I've always tried to protect him inside. I've always tried to shield him. And so there were a lot of tears that were shed, but also the therapeutic part, yes, at the same time, because I'm getting to a place for me that was, you know, had been left unaddressed. A lot of things for therapy that also had helped me get to that place of peace with that and doing those things. So it was a combination of both, Jen and Dan. It was a combination of tears and emotions, and also freedom and release and joys and smiles. You know, those moments, I'm not lying, you know, even some of the MS stuff, you just kind of laugh. Mm-hmm. When I talk about, you know, falling over, I really, it's kind of laughable because I'm picturing myself in the training room and trying to walk that straight line. And I remember falling.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just like, because I'm picturing, oh my gosh, I wonder what they were thinking. I wonder what the doctor was thinking. Like, I'm trying to picture, but for me, it's like, oh my gosh, I was really falling over. Like, and only us as patients can really laugh about those scenarios.
Yes.
that happened with us. Like, we know what it's like to, like, we see ourselves going through a doorway, and for whatever reason, that doorway gets a lot smaller and we hit it. but we didn't intend to hit it when we first started trying to progress through it. So joy and laughter, but real happiness and freedom. Happiness and freedom and joy would be the three things that I would describe, you know, with the book, with writing the book and putting those things out there, you know?
Yeah, and you bring joy to the MS community and your voice, and it's you're very relatable and approachable. And I think one of the coolest things that Dan and I have been, we've always been really in awe of and impressed by and excited. We saw you when you were emceeing for the MS Association a few years ago.
Yeah.
And we are so proud of that. And we were like, look at you sharing your voice and sharing your talent. And you're doing it again this year. Are you super excited about that?
I'm super excited because, guys, you don't know this, but Gina at the MSAA, Gina is so amazing. She found me when I was giving a message at Texas Tech University, and she just happened to be in the crowd. That was a couple of years back, like a few years back, like I can't even think. It was very, you know, and I remember her spirit. She gave me the biggest hug. I believe she was wearing blue that day, if I'm not mistaken. And, For her to have seen me back then and then to be here now, for her to trust me, to believe in me with such an amazing organization, God, that, you know what it means to have somebody to trust in you and to believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
So to be there and to be a part of such a special night for them and to do it for a couple of years now, that means so much.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jen. Go ahead.
I was just saying, when we watch it, because it's a virtual and it's going to be in person this year on May 3rd, but virtually it will be May 18th. But when we watched it in years past, virtual, Dan and I vividly remember having the computer and watching and being so excited. Like we were like little fans. We're like, we know him, you know. And you're doing it for our disease, and there are nearly a million of us in the United States. And so I think that's so exciting. And we'll link to that into the podcast notes so that people can get information. It's the Multiple Sclerosis Association of America's Improving Lives benefit. And I just, I think that's so, I mean, that's really exciting for me as a person living with the disease. I can't imagine what it's like for you being the MC again.
Oh, it's special. And we're trying to always move needles forward for our MS community, right? And, you know, everything that we do try to input, and I tell people, you may not think you're making a difference with your MS, but you are pushing needle forward, guys. We all play a part with seeing advances, seeing even changes for people's insurance, some cases, acceptances, workforces. There's been a long road, a long journey of trying to get visibility, even before I'm coming along with IMF. You know, those true warriors diagnosed in the 70s, Jen, you and Dan, y'all, every single MS diagnosis, we are just trying to push it forward. And don't you think, no matter where you are, whatever state, whatever city you live in, your level of advocacy, your level of trying to speak up, your level of trying to start something, your level of trying to be in a support group or helping somebody, that is all a part of creating greater visibility with MS. Mm-hmm. And that is something that gives the newly diagnosed hope. So please don't think that where you are in New Mexico, in small town, that you're not making a difference, because you are.
That's the truth. Yes.
And so looking at that and thinking about it, I mean, Tyler, we're talking about, you know, you're doing the Multiple Sclerosis Association's Improving Lives benefit, but I mean, you're everywhere. I mean, with like the TC Speaks and the Real Live, mm-hmm. Real Talk and just everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like, you know, number one. And then just being featured on MS panels, you know, nationwide and in countless podcasts. I mean, like this one too. I mean, so it's just like, you know, so we're hearing your voice and you're doing so much to inspire people. And we're hearing about, your where you are. What is it like, and what is your vision for being such a powerful voice? I mean, where do you see this going from here?
Yeah, I want my children to see how important it is to serve. That I don't like the fact that I have MS. I want it gone. I want that to be very clear. I don't want this. But I do have to recognize that it's what the man up above gave me to help others. And so I know that, you know, tomorrow things could change, that all that I have is today. So while I have today, while I have the functioning of my tongue, I have to use it.
Yeah. And
that is important. Yeah, go ahead.
And
Jen.
That's very important. And we're, you know, we're really lucky that you're sharing it. And one question as a person living with MS that I feel like we don't ask each other enough is, Tyler, how are you doing today? I mean, how is MS treating you?
Yeah, I love it. Tyler is learning to stand. I have to be honest, my children are getting older. I've got a few more gray hairs. and I learned to know a little bit more.
Tyler, yeah, your phone's breaking
just
up
sec.
A little
we're
bit.
It's breaking up for a sec. Just wait.
Okay. Guys, can you hear me now? Sorry about that.
Yeah, No. It was just, you were getting into something good and it was breaking up. It's like, oh no.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So no, you're okay. I think that's the lesson that I've had to learn. Is it that it's okay to say, no, I'm not able to do something. And to recognize that I have to kind of sit down. I need breaks. And that I need to lay down. I'm not 24 anymore. I'm not 21. I'm 36. I feel great, but I have to be honest. And and let people know that, hey, I use my energy as best as I can when I have it, and to be comfortable and to be confident enough in myself to be honest with myself and to say, well, hey, I'm not able to do that right now. Because I'm tired, and that I'm being honest with myself and letting my emotions show, and I'm doing that a lot more. And so I'm a work in progress, guys, but today I am learning that I do have to kind of sit down a little bit more. And that is frustrating for me. It's very hard for me. But I'm learning that I have to do that as I'm not 21 with MS. It's been 15 years for me. So I have my effects, but when I have it, I have it. And when I have to sit down, guys, Tyler has to speak up and let people know I have to sit down, and I have to not feel guilty or ashamed about that. And I'm learning, Jen and Dan, to get more comfortable in that. Yeah. I'm learning.
And that's a process, or that's a never ending process of learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's good. We're both, Dan and I are both happy to hear you say that. And we hope that people listening realize that we all have to give ourselves the grace and the permission to just take it easy and move at the speed that your body will let you. If you're living with multiple sclerosis or any other condition, we have to be kinder to ourselves. And so it's nice to hear you, Tyler, athletic you, Tyler, say that, you know, that we just have to understand and be patient.
Yeah. And it's okay to be selfish. I think it has a bad rap. It's a word that gets a bad rap. But in our community, it's okay to be selfish. Look after yourself. Because if you're selfish and you're keeping your health first, that will free you to be more selfless in those moments when they present themselves.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's okay to be selfish, and you will free yourself up when you're taking care of yourself to be more giving and more selfless with yourself in moments when they present themselves. So the selfishness in our community, it's not always a bad thing. Or if you're not in the MS community and you do have to give yourself the grace, like Jen said, it's okay to be selfish in those regards to get yourself recharged. It's okay. Not a bad thing. And then you can give more of your heart when you have time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
And with everything that you do, how do you come up with new, I mean, because Tyler, I follow you on LinkedIn and everything and social media and watching videos and hearing on different podcasts, on different workshops, panels and everything. What keeps you motivated? What keeps you going? I mean, just in terms of like, you come up with some of the most profound thoughts. And I honestly, and I will tell you this, and it's like one of your parting shots. And Jennifer and I will pay homage to you in our house as we're walking. And if if one of us has a deep thought and we want to know where did this ever come from, where we will say, I want to do it without laughing because I'm just thinking, but it's like, let that marinate on your cerebellum. Where did that come from, Tyler?
Yeah,
okay. We quote that often. That is so smart.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. Like I just posted pictures of my doctor who's retiring. His name is Dr. Edward Fox. And I'm in Texas, so it's barbecue country, right? So everybody's always about marinades and all these things. And I remember going into the doctor's office and I see like the human diagram. We all know that of the brain, and it's everywhere. And I see the diagram is like cerebellum and cerebrum, and I'm looking at it, and it's like, oh my God. So MS is a part of my life. The brain is a part of my life. I live in Texas. Everybody's always talking about marinating something, chicken, beef, brisket, fajita meat. Everybody's always like marinating something. It's like, okay, well, let's change it from meat and let's make our own, because I live with MS. My brain is very important. Let that marinate on your cerebellum. That's where it started. And then Dr. Fox, he corrected me and he said, Tyler, you want to change it to your cerebrum, and I'm going to tell you why. Because when you say the cerebrum, you're talking about that area of the brain that controls the cognitive and motor skill functioning of your brain. The cerebellum is a different aspect of it. So when you want it to marinate on something, use the cerebrum. So he actually got me and changed from cerebellum to cerebrum because it hits more with the cognitive thinking portion of our brain. So I'm just a lover of words. If for anything else, I know that's what the man of love is a gift for me. For some of us, some of it's music, it's singing, it's comedic laughter, it's drawing, it's math, it's, you know, we all have it. I'm just walking in mine, you know, because I look at people like Carlos Santana. He's been making music since 1969, and the way he plays the guitar, I can't fathom that. The reason I can't fathom that is because that's not my gift. So to me, it's like, how in the world does he do that? But that's his gift. You know, that's what he's supposed to be doing, playing guitar, playing music. And the only way I can explain it, Jen and Dan, is this is my gift, and stuff comes to me, and it happens. I read books. I love literature. I have thoughts in my car and just playing no music and just sitting in silence in my thoughts, and things come out, and I have to pull over and I have to type them in my little iPhone, because I'll forget, because we haven't met, and I'll forget, like, within 5 minutes of my thought. I just put notepads together, and I have in my phone right now, I have 496 sayings.
Wow.
And I just keep adding to them. There's 496. I haven't used them all. Some of them I'll never use. I just, whenever thoughts come, I just put them there.
And that's a good tip.
Because if I don't, I'll forget them. Yeah. I'll forget them.
That's a really good tip for people living with MS out there. If you start to notice you're getting a little cognitive trouble, have notepads mm-hmm. everywhere so you can write yeah. them down. I have grocery yeah. lists, Tyler, probably in three places in our house. And then my caregiver, yeah. we went to the grocery store today, and she just walked around and kind of compiled them all. And she's like, okay, I'm going to make one good list, like one master list. So yeah. like you, Tyler, when some brilliance comes to you, you got to write it down and jot it down or put yeah. it on your phone. So that is a good tip for people if you're newly diagnosed or oldly diagnosed.
Yeah. So hey, I'm no different, right? I have right. the same struggles. So you're on it. Same yeah. struggles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same struggles. Yeah.
So let me ask you this, Tyler. And you talked about, you know, a lot with faith and a lot with, you know, you're talking about gift mm-hmm. for, and everything. But it's I guess the question is, and I share that with you because it's very much faith filled, and I find a lot of faith in everything in dealing with my diagnosis and everything. But my question for you then yeah. is, how strong was that faith? And, you know, because so often if people get diagnosed with a disease like MS, sometimes it can turn people away from God and to where yeah. they start like saying, God, how could you let this happen to me? What kept you focused and framed and keeping in that and finding the good in your diagnosis?
Yeah. And I want to be open and transparent. I think I talk about that in the book where I literally got frustrated and I cried out, why? When I was diagnosed, I cried out, why? When football was taken away, I cried out, why? Like, why? I didn't hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. I made mistakes in my life for sure, but not to the magnitude of I deserve to have lesions on my brain. And so I want to tell people, first and foremost, I asked why. And I cried why, and I got frustrated. And I went through a phase in my life where I did those things, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I have moments in my 36 years of age where I ask why when I have to sit down because I don't want to sit down, and I'm sitting down because of MS. So I tell people, I still say why. Okay. I've never overcome it, but the difference between my walking with it now, and this is where I will hope to give people hope, is that over time, I got comfortable with learning who I am that MS could not take away. And that lied within my heart. MS didn't take away for a love of people. MS didn't take away the love for words. And then I learned that I'm all the more powerful because I can still love these words even with MS in my life. And if anything else, MS gave me a greater testimony to share that nobody else could duplicate. And I think that's important because we live in a social media world where so many people are often looking at what other people have, which if we know social media, most of the people on there don't really have what they are saying that they have, but that's a whole another ball game. But I started looking at it and it's like, I am so unique. I am so special because what I have, I'm still doing this with what I have. Somebody has MS and they are playing the piano still. Somebody has MS and they still have their family. You are so much of an incredible story once you figure out how to equate it into a gift. And like I tell people, football I thought was my gift. It wasn't the gift, it was just a talent. The MS came and helped me to recognize that I am gifted in something totally different if my heart could just be open in it. And that thing would be used to turn the world around. So I come from a place, Dan and Jen, of having something stripped away from me because of MS. Like that one thing that I thought was my thing, it was stripped, it was taken, it's gone, it left me. There's nothing I can do about it. I couldn't get football back. But because of my heart was open and willing, I noticed that there was a thing that I had all of my life, even in my childhood, that was walking alongside me and was sitting on the bench the whole time saying, hey, put me in. Nerdy 12-year-old Tyler was saying, hey, put me in. You love books and you love grammar and you love sentence structure and words. That's what needs to be pulled out of the closet. And those are the things sometimes that can get gifted to you. A greater understanding of what really matters most and who you really are at your core with MS. And my faith helped me to get to that point because the man up above never gave up on me. He just had to sit me down because he was knocking, trying to get me to get on this path. I eventually got there before it was too late.
Wow. That's beautiful, and thank you for sharing that. I mean, that's really, it's a different way to look at your MS diagnosis for all of us. Mm-hmm. You know, that, mm-hmm. you know, people, I think they often may roll their eyes when Dan or I say mm-hmm. that, you know, we have found good from our MS diagnosis. But like you said, yeah, Tyler, just look at what's walking along with you. And look at what's mm-hmm. buried and what you can find. And we hope that everybody listening, whether they're diagnosed with MS or not, they realize that, you know, there are good things that can come from the bad, and that you have more to your life than just to be downtrodden and sad because of a diagnosis of a chronic illness. That hopefully with some thought and some therapy and some introspection, you can figure it out and move forward. And that's what we're all trying to keep moving forward and be powerful.
Yeah. If not for MS, I don't meet Jen and Dan.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So it's looking at things from a different perspective. And you know, it takes time to learn that. But when you see the little pebbles that life is dropping you along the way, you don't know it, but you are building an incredible statue worth of work, and each pebble is an essential part of that creation. And so it just takes some time. Give yourself grace, but don't miss out on the little pebbles that life is dropping you. along the way, and it takes time.
That's
the best way I can say it, Dan. It takes time. And
that's some solid, good advice. Give yourself time and just don't miss anything.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Tyler, I mean, we honestly could talk with you for hours. I mean, and this is...
Of course.
I mean, is there anything else, you know, as we talked about, like wanting to have a conversation with you, just to chat and, you know, just to talk about life and multiple sclerosis? I mean, anything else that we didn't talk about that you were hoping we would or that you wanted to add?
Yeah, I just always want to tell people you are loved and you are worthy of being loved within that. You know, I think you guys do an incredible job of showcasing what's possible. You know, if you look at YouTube, it is one of the most beautiful things that you could ever see. And I encourage people to look up what you two are all about.
You're too kind.
Oh, thank you.
And I because at the end of the day, guys, when you know that you are loved, when you know that you are seen, when you know you're not just heard, but you are listened to, that there are those people who are out there in life. To meet people like that and to try your best to be a part of a support group or the work that you do on yourself to get to a level of transparency and vulnerability, those things take time. But the more work you do on yourself and the more you get to your heart and the more you're able to confront your joys and celebrate those, but also not being shameful of your hurts, either from MS or not, but the more you can be willing to go there, you're freeing yourself. And guess what? People love all of those things about you. Just give yourself a chance to be loved. And know that you are worth it. I think that's the greatest thing that I could leave is letting people know that you are loved and that there are people who want to love you. Give them the chance to do it. Give them the opportunity to do it because you deserve it. Because you deserve it. You're worthy to be loved. And that's my last thing is I always try to leave love at the forefront of everything.
And that's like comes full circle. I mean, just cause that's, you know, how you started and you're talking about like the most important things. You talk about your wife and your children. I mean, that's just like love full circle really. So
yeah.
Wow. Well, Tyler, thank you.
That's it, guys. Yeah.
Thank you for taking the time to chat with us, and you can learn more about Tyler in our liner notes. We'll have links to his book, to with things, and also for the MSAA and other events that he's involved with. And Tyler, thank you again so much.
Okay, love you guys. You know that. Thank you.
Thank you, and we love you. Right back at you. A new segment for our podcast is MS in Their Voices. This segment features the writing of MS authors who will read to you the powerful words of their personal essays, poetry, and prose. For this episode, Dan and I are excited to feature Tyler Campbell.
Tyler is the author of The Ball Came Out, Life from the Other Side of the Field, the Amazon best-selling book published by Books for Athletes in 2022. This heartfelt autobiography follows Tyler on his journey to self-discoveries as he unlocks the power of his voice after a multiple sclerosis diagnosis sidelined his life as a football player.
This book is very special for me in general. Just the opportunity to finally get to a place where I was in full control of sharing my life experience, sharing my multiple sclerosis diagnosis and what that looked like behind closed doors in my perspective, you know, and really giving people a window seat into my heart to hopefully say, oh my gosh, I went through that same thing with my MS. Or if you don't have multiple sclerosis, perhaps you know someone, and this maybe gives you a glimpse as to what they have gone through or are going through with their life. And so these pages right here are one of my more proud moments of my book, The Ball Came Out, Life from the Other Side of the Field. A few moments later, I noticed that my roommate, Matt, was getting up. I don't know what time it was, but it was later that morning. I finally was able to muster up enough strength to raise my voice and yell for Matt. I let him know that something was off with my body. It took some time, but I was able to get myself dressed. After that, we got to the training room, and I let the trainers know that something was wrong. Obviously, they could see my motor skills and my motor functioning was off. My speech was still slurred, and forming sentences was a real chore. The right side of my body still wasn't working. They asked me if I was concussed or not. My answer was obviously no. Up until that point, I had never seen the team doctor in all of my college career, except for coming in that year as a high blood pressure patient. I got put on high blood pressure medication because hypertension is prevalent in my family. It was hereditary. That was my first time failing physically, really. I did not pass the blood pressure check and had been placed on blood pressure medication. The team doctor gave me the motor skills test. Touch your finger to your nose and follow his hand. The doctor was positioning his hand somewhere and you touch your nose. And then try to touch his hand while doing it in a straight line. Every single time I went to touch it, I saw where his hand was, but I'm not touching it. I'm telling my right hand where to go, but it wouldn't connect. Next, I was instructed to walk in a straight line. It looked like I was drunk because I couldn't do it. Staggering, I fell over. By this time, I had a little bit more strength. In my head, I see the doctor. I'm walking towards him, but my body is doing something totally different. He said, I'll be right back. He went into his office for some time, and I was sitting outside the office in a chair. Within that time, Matt came in worried. I couldn't answer his questions of what happened to you. I didn't know the answer myself. My head felt dizzy. The doctor came back out and gave me a piece of paper and he said, there is a neurologist that you need to call so you can book an appointment at Scripps La Jolla Memorial Hospital in La Jolla, California. They'll help you try to figure out what this is. Now I've become more terrified because I got passed off from trainer to team doctor and now neurologist. Normally, the team doctor was the end of the road to getting an answer as an athlete. Instead, I was preparing to head to a hospital in a very prestigious part of California that was away from my normal surroundings.
That is so powerful. Honestly, Tyler, we bought the book and had it delivered, but as we were reading it, it's just like, we need to hear Tyler reading this. You have such a powerful voice and it's so engaging. So just hearing you read it now, wow.
Thank you.
Come on, guys. I'm a child of the 80s and 90s. So there was a show on PBS called Reading Rainbow.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And it's hey, take a look. It's in a book. And so, man, I really felt like Lamar, how he used to read to us as kids. Yes. And Reading Rainbow, and I was getting a chance to do that, living a childhood dream with my book doing the audio version. So there was, hey, I promise I was having more fun than I know the sound people were reading the book. So it was a joy for me. And honestly, guys, some of us suffer from optic neuritis. Some of us suffer with hand movements, right? And flipping pages and reading can just be a chore. So the reason I did the audio version was for our community, and not allowing a book to be a burden, that your physical disability does not have to keep you from the enjoyment of reading reading a book. And yeah, I believe we deserve that. We deserve that in our community.
Absolutely. You know? I agree. And we need your voice. So that was really nice. Thank you.
We really appreciate you taking the time to listen and share with us, because this is a community and we're not in this alone. And so until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman.
I'm Jennifer Digman.
And we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Take care.